He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Welcome to God's house this morning. It's a joy to worship with you and celebrate the victory that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. We extend an especially hearty welcome to all of you who are guests and visitors. We're very grateful that you're worshiping with us today, and we pray that God would richly bless your worship and strengthen your faith through God's word that will be shared with you this morning. One of our traditions at St. Mark's is to sing the Hallelujah Chorus on Easter Sunday. At the point during which the choir sings the Hallelujah Chorus, the congregation is invited to sing along. So our ushers right now will be passing out copies of that music. If you would like to sing with the choir, please raise your hand and the ushers will connect you with a copy of the music, and then we can raise our voices together when it's time to sing the Hallelujah Chorus. This will likely be announced at the end of the service, but we would ask that you would leave your copy of the Hallelujah Chorus behind. We'll reuse it again in the 10:45 service, and that'll be greatly helpful if you could just tuck it in with the hymnal, and then it'll be ready to go later. We'll pick those up after the service. For your convenience, the entire order of worship this morning is printed in the worship booklet that you received from the usher when you came in. Worship is going to begin on page 3 with the processional hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. And out of respect for the processional and the cross coming down the aisle, we invite you to stand for the opening hymn. May God richly bless your celebration of Jesus' victory this morning. Please stand.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
The Lord's right hand is majestic in power. The Lord's right hand has shattered the enemy. In the greatness of his majesty, he threw down those who opposed him.
Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth.
The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and grace.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you conquered death and opened the gate to eternal life. Grant that we, who have been raised with him through baptism, may walk in newness of life and ever rejoice in the hope of sharing his glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be dominion and praise, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson for this day is select verses from Exodus chapter 14 and 15. Here we see God's people praising him for bringing them out of Egypt, for keeping the promises that he made to them. And I think if God can do this, God can take care of you, God can take care of me, and in fact he has, because his Son lives, these promises are sure. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let us get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here we see the power of God's word at work in the heart of one who describes himself as abnormally born, someone who wanted nothing to do with Jesus, someone who made it his life's passion to kill as many Christians as he could to stop the proclamation of the gospel. It was the good news of Jesus, who lives and reigns forever, that worked faith in St. Paul's heart and made him a missionary to many. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed.
This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to stand as we sing the Hallelujah Chorus.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying there by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Easter greetings to you all in the name of Him who lived for you, who died for you, who rose again triumphantly for you, so that He could hold you and call you His forever. Today is kind of a big day. If you didn't get that with the sights and sounds of worship yet, you probably know that because of what's on your agenda for the rest of the day. Or maybe you know that because of what you've been checking off on your agenda. Something big is happening. Something great is about to happen. Or there's still so much for you to do yet today, because today is a big festival, happy day. But when you start reading the gospel for today, in Luke chapter 24, you kind of get a different impression. You get the impression that this was just any other day. This was just any other bad day. Another bad start to another bad week. You see, Jesus and His closest circle of friends and family, they had just gotten their tails kicked all last week. And it did not end well for Jesus. It did not end well for them. And these thoughts are just circling in their minds because they have some business to take care of. They have to go and prepare a body. And then who knows what's going to happen to them after that or the next day. And so they go. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, it's kind of interesting what they were wondering about and why they were wondering. You know, I think sometimes people try to give them a bad time because what were they doing running to the tomb anyway? You know, shouldn't they have known that there was going to be nobody in the tomb? And whether we want to give them a bad time or not, it makes a little bit of sense to go to a tomb because if you're looking for someone who died, maybe you go check there first. But regardless, they were wondering and worrying. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next? Who's coming to look for them? Let's take a little minute to do an informal straw poll. And I want you to think hard about your answer, because your answer could come back and haunt you later on in the sermon. Are you of the mindset that these people should have known better and should not have gone to the tomb looking for Jesus? Or are you of the camp that says, hey, extenuating circumstances, let's cut them some slack? But before you drop your ballot into the box, before you click submit my vote, I want you to think about what you're saying. I want you to think about what's going on. I want you to think about what these people were worrying about, what these people were wondering about, and if any of it makes sense. We like these people. Don't you kind of like this group of people, these ladies who were running to the tomb? They're some of our favorites. They're heroes. Mary Magdalene is probably one of the best feel-good stories of the Bible. Right? Her life was a mess. She was suffering from demon possession, and Jesus healed her because Jesus loved her only because He is His good and her good and gracious Savior. And then she loved Him back, and she followed Him, and she served Him. I mean, this is Jesus' support team. You stop to think what they had to take care of, all these details that they needed to be about while Jesus was walking this earth and carrying out His earthly ministry. Somebody had to do these jobs, and they did it. And you see them doing this on Easter morning. Hey, who's going to go properly take care of this body? Peter didn't do that. None of the other guys did that. They were back home worrying, wondering, letting their minds try and figure everything out. What's going to happen? What do you think was really ruining their whole day? Ruining their whole week? Do you think it was because they were sad? And they were mourning? Maybe, but these people were really good at weeping and wailing at funerals. So I don't know that had them concerned. They were really good at doing that. I'm not even sure it was thinking, okay, well, who's coming after us next? We saw what the chief priests did to Jesus. We saw what they got the Roman government to do. Who's coming after us? They know who we are. They know where we live. We've been following him the whole time. I don't even know if it was that. That they could prepare for. That they could handle. But what really had them upset and worked up this day is that they had no clue what was going on, how to handle this. It started with a little bit of life, and it turned into a little bit of worry. And a little bit of worry turned into a little bit of wondering. And a little bit of wondering turned into a whole lot of worrying. And a whole lot of worrying turned into a whole lot more of wondering. And it just went round and round and round in their minds. Their minds were engaged. It's not that they weren't thinking about this. It's not that they didn't have an idea of what to do. They just weren't putting the reality into the process. They were extending all this mental energy, and it was wearing them down and getting them nowhere. They took the reality of Easter out, and they were letting their minds run wild, wondering what was happening. And Peter didn't do any better. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself, what had happened? You know, this was a guy who walked with Jesus, who talked with him, probably cried and laughed with him, went fishing with him. He knew Jesus very well. But now he was expending all of his mental energy too. Not on what he knew to be the reality, and maybe you could argue he should have, or he could have, but he wasn't. And can't you just feel his headache? As he gets this report, and he goes to the tomb and he sees things that just aren't making sense. And he doesn't take the reality of the day and plug it into the equation. What does he do? He starts worrying and he starts wondering. And he comes to the conclusion that what these people just told him, it's nonsense. It is not helping. And so he worried and he wondered. And he drove himself crazy trying to figure this all out. Maybe it's a good thing to start and see what didn't help any of this. What didn't help the women, what didn't help Peter. You know, we would think you get to the tomb and it's empty. There we go, problem solved. He's not there. But that didn't help a bit. That just caused more questions. Well, where is he? What happened? And it certainly wasn't an angel. That just made them afraid. That scared them. And it still didn't answer their questions. It still didn't stop that cycle in their minds. They were still wondering. They were still worrying. They had control over nothing on this day. And then Peter comes. He sees an empty tomb. Problem solved, right? He sees some slightly used burial linens that have no purpose anymore because there's nobody in them. That didn't help Peter either. The little pep talk from Mary Magdalene and the others, that should have done it too. Hey, Peter, everything's okay. We were there. We saw. It's empty. That didn't do Peter any good either. He kept wondering and he kept worrying. Because that's all that life is going to create for any of us. Life is going to create more worrying, which is going to create more wondering. So what is it for you today that has you wondering and worrying? Is it a little bit of life? Or maybe there's a whole lot going on in your life right now. Maybe there's a lot of things that are just simply out of control for you. And so what do? You start worrying and you start wondering. And then that leads to more wondering and that leads to more worrying. And pretty soon you have this thumping over and over and over again in your head, like when you have a shoe in the dryer. And it just thumps over and over and over, and that's what's going on in your mind right now? Or maybe you feel a little guilty about something. Something that you said. Something that you did. Or maybe you're wondering how God is going to figure anything out for you. And you feel like the hamster on the wheel, and you're running. It's not that you don't care. And it's not that you don't love Jesus. You're trying to figure it out. And you're extending all this mental energy. You're going around and around and around like a hamster, but you're not happy like the hamster is. Because you're not getting anywhere. And nothing is getting better for you. Because you have taken the reality out of the day. And you have taken the reality out of your relationship with Jesus. And you have replaced it with wonder. And you have replaced it with worrying, which leads to more wondering, which leads to more worrying. Have you ever hoped that you would find an answer for that? You know, a real answer for that? As if God hasn't given you an answer, you need to go looking for a different one, like an empty tomb. Wouldn't that be great? That didn't do it for the women or for Peter. An angel. God should send you an angel to come down and fix your problems, make everything better for you. That didn't help them. That terrified them. A different miracle. Bring someone back from your life. Take them out of their burial denims, out of their coffin, and that would do it for you, wouldn't it? A pep talk from a good friend. A real friend this time. God should send you a real friend to give you all the answers, to solve everything for you. That didn't do it for Peter and for the apostles. And these were people who were very close to Jesus. So maybe you go and try and find answers and purpose someplace else. And a lot of times the alternatives aren't very good. Maybe they take you to places and you engage in things that are slightly less than morally upright, but they give you pleasure and they distract you, so you go there. It doesn't matter where you want to go. It doesn't matter what you're looking for. It's not even Easter that's going to do it for you. There are not enough jelly beans in the world, are there, to fill all those gaps in your minds that you're wondering and you're worrying about and you just want something in there to make sense and to quiet everything down. It's not going to be colored Easter eggs either. We need God to do for us what he did for them and what he did for Peter. We need God to take the reality of the day and to insert it into the way that we think, and so that we look to him and what he says is going to work. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, and it's kind of a cliffhanger, that's what they were doing. They were wondering about all of this. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying there by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. It's important that we don't try to do what Peter did. It's important that we don't try to insert things to make sense out of things. You know, like if God would do this for me, or if God would stop that for me, if God would answer this prayer in the right way, or if God would help me to stop doing this or to stop saying that, if God would give me a stronger faith, then I would have more hope. It's important that we don't try to distract ourselves as if those moral indiscretions don't really matter. It's important that we don't allow ourselves to doubt because we're slightly irked that Pastor is talking about these things, even on Easter Sunday when we're not supposed to be talking about sin. Well, that irks me too, to have to think about it and talk about it. And if worrying and wondering, and if distracting yourselves with your friends and with a big Easter dinner and a big Easter celebration would work, and if letting you and letting me run off and do whatever it is we're going to do, even though it does not please God, so that we don't have to think about what's really going on, if any of that would really work and would break this cycle of worry and wondering, I would say go have at it. There's only one thing that's going to work, and that's the Easter realities. That the Holy Spirit would put the Easter realities into our hearts and into our minds and into this thought process and break the circle for us. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Look at the power of the Word of God at work in their hearts and in their minds. The Holy Spirit took the words of Jesus and he put them in there. And the Holy Spirit, by his grace and power, he broke their process. He broke this vicious cycle. He took the shoe out of the dryer. He got them out of the hamster circle and gave them what really worked. Remember what Jesus said. Easter realities create wins and wonders. Did the same thing for Peter, although it took a little bit longer. It really took the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But then Peter, too, remembered what Jesus said, and it all made sense. And then Peter, too, had something to break the cycle as the Holy Spirit reinserted in his mind, something that helped him deal with the fact that he denied Jesus, that he ran away for Jesus, that he didn't stand up for Jesus. He should have fought for Jesus, but he didn't. Peter, remember what Jesus said? I'm going to suffer and die for all of your sins. It's okay, Peter. You don't have to worry. You don't have to wonder anymore. And I think St. Paul calls himself the best example. Whoever saw that one coming? That the Holy Spirit could even do that for St. Paul? St. Paul, who said, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." Jesus' word can and will do the same for you. Not by making you into some super Jesus-loving Apostle Paul who's going to go out on some missionary journey and convert a whole lot of people. Not going to make you into a super follower of Jesus who's never going to sin again. Not guaranteeing that you're going to have everything figured out. It's going to give you something better. The promise that the Holy Spirit is going to put the words of Jesus into your head and into your heart, and to give you peace that nothing else can. The good news that Jesus loves you, and he lived for you and died for you, and he rose again for you. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, and be raised again. That's Easter reality. And that Easter reality is going to win wins and wonders in your hearts and in your lives too. So remember these good news that because Jesus lives, so do you. Because Jesus lives, your sins are forgiven. Because Jesus lives, one day you're going to live with him forever in heaven. Not a carrot on a stick for God to manipulate your life or to create some false belief that everything is going to be great. But it gives all this thinking and wondering that's going on in your head something to grab onto. And it gives it a purpose. And it gets you off that hamster circle and gives you something to extend your energy into. You get to live for Jesus. You get to trust in Jesus. You get to have peace today because of Easter reality. May the good news of Jesus win many wins in your hearts and lives, not just today, but every day. And into eternity. Amen. Please stand. We have the opportunity to share with one another all the truths about our God upon which these promises are based. We do so by confessing together the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are on page 12 in the worship booklet. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Please be seated as we collect the offering. Also at this time, if you would please fill out your worship connection cards, that's the best way to get in touch with us so that we can share more with you about our ministry here at St. Mark's. And if you are already a member at St. Mark's, that's a good way for us to let us know how we can pray for you and how we can help you. Let us worship our God with our offerings.
Filled with light as the angels.
prayers of our church family have been requested for the family of David Landkammer. David is the brother of Laura Turner. David recently passed away very suddenly and unexpected this last week, so we will remember David's family, including our sister Laura Turner. We've been asked to remember Roger Oddie, the brother of Bonnie Ball, who will undergo a heart procedure this week. And your prayers have also been requested by Susan Trout, whose friend recently fell and at this time is paralyzed, and they're not sure that she is going to be able to walk again. So we will remember her and also Susan in our prayers. Our prayer of the church is the responsive prayer on page 15. Please stand. Heavenly Father, God of grace, you have brought us into a new and living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive.
He is risen indeed.
He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification.
Hallelujah.
We marvel at the love you showed by your willingness to sacrifice your Son to pay for our sins. We bow down in adoration at your mighty power, which raised him from the dead.
We praise you for sending the true life and life into the world.
Lord Jesus, God of grace, you have filled our hearts with resurrection joy by your victory over sin, death, and the grave.
You have conquered the darkness.
With the church of every age, we offer you unending praise, for you have crushed Satan's head and have removed our guilt.
You are risen.
Dear Savior, we who are weary and burdened come to you for rest, knowing that because of your perfect redemption, there is now no condemnation for us.
You are risen indeed.
Take away our doubts and fears, and daily renew in us the joy of our salvation.
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, God of grace, you have called us by the gospel and brought us to saving faith in our risen Lord.
We glorify you for opening our eyes to see the light of life.
Keep us with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
He is risen.
As we journey through life, make us yearn for the day when you will give eternal life to us and all believers in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, very often things happen in life that we simply do not understand, and it's hard for us to grasp your promise that everything works for our good. So we ask that you would be with Susan Trout at this and her friend during this difficult time. Help Susan to rely on you. May this be a time that Susan can share with her friends and family the comfort she has of your almighty hand watching over everything that happens. We ask that you bless those who are tending to Susan's friend. If it is your will, we ask that you would restore her so that she can walk again. In all things, may your name be glorified in how you handle this situation. We ask that you would send your resurrection comfort, especially to the family of David Landkammer, the brother of our member Laura Turner, whom you have called out of this world, and to yourself in heaven. Assure David's family that because you defeated death, David's soul now enjoys the peace and perfection of heaven as we wait for the day of your return and the resurrection of the body. May the Easter gospel comfort them in their sorrow and be a source of strength and hope to all of David's loved ones. Also, Lord Jesus, great physician of body and soul, bless the work of the physicians and medical staff who will perform the heart procedure that Roger Oddie will undergo this week. Bless the procedure according to your will, that it may bring about the intended results, and that Roger may give you thanks for your undeserved kindness in his hour of need. Teach us all to look to you in our hour of need, that we may find our comfort in your promise to be with us and bless us in all circumstances of life. Work through us as we proclaim the saving message of the crucified and risen Jesus, near and far, so that many others may hear your call, obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, and join us before the throne of our God and of the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Our Lord God, Almighty, grace. Hallelujah. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated. Again, Easter blessings to all of you. May the Holy Spirit do what he has promised, to use the powerful and effective Word of God to drive Easter reality home for you. And may he bless you with that good news. Thank you very much to everybody who took some precious minutes out of Easter Sunday to be here today. I ask that God would bless your get-togethers if you have someplace to go. If you don't have someplace to go, may the good news of Jesus be with you and encourage and comfort you today. If you are our worship guest and you returned a connection card, I really look forward to connecting with you and visiting with you in the days ahead. So please, if you haven't returned that, you can hand it to an usher on your way out, or you can just give the church office a call during the week if you feel more comfortable doing that. A couple business announcements to share. Please take the weekly news home with you. They are out on the standards just behind the windows to your left and your right as you go out. Also, if you don't, you may certainly take the worship booklet with you, but if you won't be using it and if you will be recycling it, please hand it to the ushers or leave it in the benches. Then we'll use those again for next service. You can also leave your Hallelujah Chorus copies on the benches, and then we will have the ushers come and take those. And finally, we have a lot of food. You can enjoy some breakfast. You can enjoy some time with one another. Maybe get to know somebody that you don't know yet. So please make your way over to the gym straight out the back, and you can see where people will be going. Lots of good food ready for you. Thank you again. I enjoyed worshiping with you today. May Jesus bless you, and feel free to visit before you're ushered out.